Now, road safety is a big feature. We'll be talking a bit later on about a road safety map from the Road Safety Authority of Ireland, which highlights the areas where accidents have happened across the country. This morning, though, Alcohol Action Ireland, in a number of minutes' time, will be appearing before the Oireachtas Transport Committee in relation to what they're claiming is a huge fall off in the number of breathalyzer tests being carried out on Irish roads. They're sounding the alarm on this and saying that alcohol is involved in over a third of driver deaths in our roads. Almost one in eight drivers admit to drink driving or admitted drink driving in the past 12 months. That's around 424,500 people. Yet in 2010, there were five times as many breathalyzer tests being carried out on Irish roads as there are today, even though there are a million more drivers in 2026 than there were in 2010. So why has this happened? And from your own point of view, I suppose, just think about it. When's the last time you were asked by a member of an Garda Síochána to blow into a breathalyzer test? And how many times has it happened to you in recent years? Get in touch with us on that. Is that actually what's happening on the ground? It seems to be from the figures that they have. Just before coming in air, I spoke to the CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland, Dr. Sheila Gilheeny, and I first of all asked her what she would be saying to politicians at the Transport Committee this morning.
So what we're saying is that there's a real need to significantly increase the level of breath testing. Right now, 3/4 of people think that they're not likely to be stopped, and they're absolutely right. We know that we have the lowest level of breath testing, roadside breath testing, across Europe, and this needs to change. There are things that we know really can work. So one of those things is setting out a clear target, putting the resources behind it and following through on that. I'll just give you one example. In Australia, they would set a target that every licensed driver should expect to be tested at least once a year. Now, when I say that here in Ireland, most people will say, I've either never been tested or at most once or twice in my lifetime. So we have seen in Ireland the number of breath tests absolutely plummet, but at the same time, the number of drivers in Ireland increase dramatically. And we have to actually, as I say, put the resources behind what should be a clear target. And the reason for that is that alcohol is a factor in at least a third of our deaths on our roads. So if we want to address our rising levels of road fatalities, this is an area that really needs to be looked at.
Why has this happened? I mean, the figures that showed 2010, 2.6 million driving tests were held, licences were held in Ireland, and over 500,000 breath tests were carried out. There was 10,000 drink driving arrests. 2025, 3.5 million licences, almost a million more licences on the road, but a massive drop in the number of breath tests, 189,000 versus 500,000 in 2010.
So we have far fewer guards available for road safety duty, and that's, you know, the number of guards, you know, dropped dramatically in that time. And while there has been some increase in the last number of years, it's nowhere near enough to be able to follow through on this. And with road safety, it's all about enforcement. That is the key message that we'll be giving today.
Okay, what are other countries doing? How do we compare across Europe?
Well, you know, looking at the figures in 2021, they do a calculation there of how many tests were carried out per 1,000 inhabitants. In Ireland, we had 18 tests per 1,000 inhabitants. In France, that figure was 109, and the league was topped by Estonia with a rate of 576 tests per 1,000 inhabitants. That'll give you a sense of just how far behind we are at this stage. And when we look across Europe, we can see that road deaths are going down, whereas here, unfortunately, they're going up.
Yeah, 190 last year. Now, the figure is 58 for this year, which is thankfully down on this period last year, but there's some way to go in relation to that. You believe if breath testing is increased, that it will lead to a reduction in accidents and fatalities?
We have no doubt about that because, you know, when people have an expectation that they're likely to be caught doing something, that is the thing that really does change behaviour.
When it comes to other areas, you're also saying that 37% of drink driving court cases don't result in convictions.
Yeah, there, you know, again, this is quite shocking because it's very different in other countries. Our procedures, I think, have become quite cumbersome. We have you know, one law tagged onto another law, tagged onto another law, and it has possibly created a number of loopholes. And we see, you know, solicitors advertising quite openly saying, you know, like, we, you know, that it is likely that you can get around a conviction through these loopholes. So we're saying there probably needs to be a review of all of the legislation in this area. But we would also be pointing to a few things that we can see straight away which are quite cumbersome. So, you know, for example, in the event of a collision which, you know, results in hospitalisation, there are rather, as I say, cumbersome procedures. So, for example, we would say that any doctor or nurse in the hospital should be able to take a blood sample from somebody who is suspected of drink driving, whereas what we have at the moment is that the Gardaí have to give a specific direction to a Garda nominated doctor. So we think we should look at that and try to make that a bit more straightforward, and that would be done in other countries. Likewise, there's a very short time limit at or window to be able to take those samples. At the moment it's 3 hours from the time of the collision, but we would know that particularly in rural areas, and you can think yourselves in Kerry, you know, way out on the peninsulas, by the time, you know, an ambulance or a fire service actually reaches the collision, maybe something cut out from that, transported to a hospital, maybe an hour away or more, that 3 hours can go in very quickly. So we are saying that window should be widened to make sure that we don't allow drink drivers to evade their responsibilities.
So a review of the processes around what happens when an accident takes place, as well as a review of the legal technicalities that you feel some solicitors are using to get their clients off when they've had too much to drink and are driving.
We certainly would be saying that. I mean, it seems incredible, you know, that 37% at least would be able to evade conviction after a positive breath test.
This isn't anything to do with judges being too lenient or anything. This is technicalities you're talking about.
No, it seems to be technicalities, and we're saying that there's probably a need really to look at that in depth and to try and close whatever possible loopholes might exist.
Does all of this should combine to a feeling of or a perception out there that you feel are attitudes out there that this is no longer a big deal? Sure, there'll hardly be, I can't remember the last time I was tested, someone will be thinking, I'll have a few and I'll be grand, I'll make it home. So that attitude is starting to grow.
It absolutely is, and we can see that from surveys from the Road Safety Authority. Like, you know, last year 12% of drivers admitted to drink driving. You know, that's over 400,000 people. It's about 1,100 people per day taking a lethal weapon onto our roads. And, you know, that figure of people who admit to drink driving has been increasing. About 3 years ago, it was 9%. Now we're up to 12%. And it's all part of a kind of feeling of, sure, I'll get away with it.
Is the big answer to this then enforcement and, let's say, extra Gardaí? Is that the reason you believe why the numbers have dropped off so dramatically over the last decade of the number of breath tests carried out?
Yes, we certainly think that is the primary driver there, that, you know, enforcement is a critical issue. We would also, though, point to, you know, here in Ireland, we have very high rates of alcohol consumption. In particular, we have very high rates of binge drinking, you know, hazardous levels of drinking. We're actually the second highest across OECD countries. And, you know, there are linkages between that level of alcohol consumption in the country and road collisions. So, you know, we would be pointing to a couple of things that are important here. So, for example, there have been persistent calls to increase licensing hours, and we would be saying, well, do you know what? The evidence shows that even a one-hour increase in licensing hours is associated with a 30% increase in collisions on rural roads. So, you know, it is in, within the programme of government to look at licensing hours, and we would be saying, well, before you would make any changes to licensing hours, you really would also have to think, is there going to be a knock-on effect on road safety as well?
Is there going to be an impact on that in terms of the number of increasing crashes that might result or will result, you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
You're talking to politicians today about this. Does the political will exist to change the trend in these statistics? Do you think it's not very popular to talk about clamping down on people on the road, more breath tests, more Gardaís, more checks on everybody? And there's plenty of politicians out there who are opposed to it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand sometimes politicians, they're maybe not sure what might actually work. We always just simply point to the evidence. But what I will say is that there is very strong public support for this type of enforcement, these type of actions. And, you know, we'd be calling on politicians to look at that. I think probably the most important thing, though, is not to say that it's any one department whose primary responsibility is for this. Now, we're in front of the Transport Committee today. We're aware that, you know, the Minister for Transport, and we actually met with Minister Sean Canney yesterday on this, that, you know, the Department of Transport can only do so much. Department of Justice,
Department of Health
comes into this as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Licensing laws also held by the Department of Justice. So there really needs to be a whole of government approach to this. It can't be left to any one department when we can see that there's actually issues to be addressed across a number of departments.
Okay, Sheila, listen, thanks very much for giving us your time and talking to us about that issue this morning.
Thank you indeed.
Sheila Ganhini there, Dr. Sheila Ganhini of Alcohol Action Ireland, who will be speaking before the Oireachtas Committee this morning, calling for politicians to take action. I suppose the biggest issue, what they're saying, is that just the lack of the numbers of Gardaí that are out there available to carry out the breathalyzer tests. But the numbers are stark. 2010, a million less drivers on the road, and yet there were 566,000 breath tests in 2010 carried out. It resulted in 10,308 arrests for drink driving. Last year, 3.5 million licenses, almost a million more people driving on the roads, but only 189,000 breath tests carried out, resulting in 4,867 arrests for drink driving. They're arguing it needs to change. What do you think? When's the last time you faced a breath test on the Irish road? Well, a listener gets in touch. I've been driving 7 years and I've never been breathalyzed. I'm trying to think myself. I'm driving for many, many years. I can only ever remember once being breathalyzed in that time. I was driving a lot earlier than 2010, I'd have to say. Maybe twice at a stretch. But the system in Australia, as I said, is the aim is from their authorities to have everybody on the road breath tested at least once a year. And it acts as a deterrent. Not that, you know, you should need it anyway. You should be thinking, I'm not going to drink and drive. And the education part plays a role in that as well. And things have improved and the numbers have come down, it's important to state, albeit last year they went up. And they're saying this needs to change and action needs to be taken on it. What do you think? Get in touch. Have we become lax because we have no real fear of being breath tested unless you're actually in an accident itself? And even with that in mind, plenty of loopholes out there. They're saying they need to be cleaned up in that area when it comes to convictions for drink driving. On breathalyzer tests, we were hearing this morning from Alcohol Action Ireland calling for an increase in testing because it's dropped off a cliff for the last 10 to 15 years. With me on the comment line on this is Terry Boyle of Tralee Taxi Association. Terry, good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry. How are you? And good morning to your listeners.
What's your view on breath testing?
Well, look, Jerry, I suppose I can only speak from a personal perspective, but what I have found, particularly over the last 10 years and maybe since random breath testing has come in, is there is a higher chance of being breathalyzed between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. in the morning. I know, like, coming up to Christmas last year, on the week before Christmas, I was breathalyzed on the Tuesday at 7:30 a.m. up near the revenue offices in Spa Road. And on the following Saturday morning, I was also breathalyzed in Dinny Street near the Imperial Hotel at 8:20 in the morning. So, like, it's more likely, and from talking to my own colleagues as well, like, I don't do a whole pile of nights anymore myself, but from talking to my own colleagues, the likelihood is that if you are going to be breath tested, it is likely to be early morning.
Okay, so not during the evening time, not at random times during the day. Just is that, Terry, possibly to do with the nature of shift work for Gardaí, that is when they're targeting the times of the day that they feel, and that would normally be from the effects of the night before, shall we say?
I suspect it's probably a number of factors. I don't really know, but I would assume that a manpower issue is probably at play as well here. You know, where maybe manpower isn't available maybe at other times during the day. And I suppose if you look at socialising patterns as well, Jerry, I think the majority of alcohol, I would imagine, I don't really know what the figures are, but I would imagine there is a lot of alcohol being consumed in the homes or in private parties outside of, you know, public and licensed premises. You know, I think the pub trade isn't what it used to be. I think if you look at you know, the numbers going to the pubs 20 years ago as opposed to today, you know, that's significantly down. So I think you'll have all those factors would come into play as well.
Yeah, so the traffic of people who, let's say 20 years ago, they might have gone to the pub, had a couple of pints, chance to drive home afterwards, that's a lot less now, that level of traffic that would have been there maybe 10, 15 years, 20 years ago, rather than the people who were getting up after a heavy night at home the night before, still under the influence. That's part of it, change in consumer behaviour, consumption behaviour.
Oh, hugely, Jerry, yeah. Like, I know when the random breath testing started initially, it would be common enough to be breathalyzed in the evening time, 7, 8, maybe 9 o'clock up along, and it would be common enough to be breathalyzed early hours of the morning, you know, any time, 1 a.m., 3 a.m. But certainly there has been a shift from that, and I think it is definitely more likely to be early morning now. And my own personal experience would be that it is early morning any time I have been breathalyzed, it has been, particularly in the last 10 years, it has been early morning.
Yeah. Terry, do you think more needs to be done? Would you agree with Alcohol Action Ireland that there needs to be more testing done back to what the level that it was to stop drink driving?
Look, I suppose I think you have to look at it maybe from the Gardaí's perspective as well. I think you don't, it's not only alcohol you have at play as well at the moment, you have other substances. And I think possibly the other substances may be a more difficult job for the Gardaí to detect. So, you know, it's all very well to be saying that they need to do A, B and C, but, like, do they have the manpower to do A, B and C?
The manpower is the big thing. Yeah. Like, they need the numbers to be able to do the work that they're required to do. Yeah.
I think they do, Jerry. And I think you have to look at, we'll say, take or you know, the policing of town centres and so on. Like you don't see too many Gardaí on the beat anymore, but if you say the likes of Tralee town centre there, it's a big problem where you don't have the manpower or you don't seem to have the manpower for Gardaí to do that. So I think there's definitely a bigger picture there where I think you give the Gardaí the resources and the manpower to do it, and I think they will do it, but at the moment they're probably stretched, I would think. That's probably a matter for the Gardaí to comment on, but from the outside looking in, it does look like that resources are stretched to the limit, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Terry, listen, thanks for giving us your view on that. That's Terry Boyle in the comment line there about our breathalyzer story this morning. If you have a view, if you have your own story and how many times you've been tested and not, get in touch.